Hello, everybody. Warm greetings from Vienna, Austria. We are talking here at the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, and this is our December 2016 webinar, Preparing a Job Application for the IAEA. So if you just joined us, welcome again. We have a lot of people joining us today. Over 350 people have registered for this webinar. And the good news is we are talking to a brand new audience. Almost 50% of you never applied for a position at the IAEA before. Close to 77% of you never participated in one of our webinars before. For the 23% who have participated, thank you for coming back. And do not forget that we do have a brand new webinar every month with a different topic of interest to potential applicants like you. In order to make sure that you listen in to the presentation and see the presentation through the next hour, please follow the instructions that are on the screen. Don't forget that we have a lot of people, three other speakers here today, and they're gonna tell you a lot about the application process at the IAEA. We're gonna walk you through the steps of preparing an application and provide you some useful information. Please be mindful the following instructions from this webinar does not necessarily guarantee or provide any assurance that you'll be successful in an application. However, following these tips will help you prepare to put your best foot forward. It may help you stand out from the competition. I'll let my colleagues now introduce themselves. Moving on to the next slide, so we're going to start with Tristan.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Tristan Bauswein. I'm the Chief Financial Officer of the agency. I'm also the Director of the Division of Budget and Finance. I joined the agency a year and a half ago. I'm a Chartered Certified Accountant with studies in European Business Administration. And as you may hear, I come from France.
Thank you, Tristan. We also have someone that some of you who are familiar with our brochures or our videos online familiar with. This is Christina.
Hi, everyone. My name is Christina George. I'm a nuclear security officer here at the IAEA. I'm glad to be with you this afternoon. I joined the agency in 2011. My background is in electrical engineering, and I look forward to the next hour with you.
Thank you, Christina. And just for more information on Tristan and Christina, please hang in there, and they're going to be telling us a little bit about their careers, a little bit about how they came here to the IAEA and their impressions of what it's like to work at the International Atomic Energy Agency. And I also have my colleague from HR, G.
Hello, everyone. My name is Gianni. I'm an associate recruitment officer within the recruitment team here at the agency. I've been with the recruitment team since August 2013. Before then, I was a former intern within HR. I have an educational background in international relations, and I come from Republic of Korea.
Thank you, G. And I have spoken to some of you, at least the 23% who have participated in the webinars before. My name is Gustavo Araujo, and I am a recruitment officer here at the IAEA. And I've been at the IAEA since April 2014, and I am from Brazil. So now we're going to get things started by looking at the professional opportunities at the agency.
Thank you, Gustavo. So we'd like to start off the presentation by saying that although the agency is known to be a technical organization, we would like to emphasize that the agency offers diverse professional opportunities not only in the scientific and technical areas within the nuclear field, but also in varied areas such as human resources, finance, management, procurement, publications, among others. And as you can see on the slide on the left, where you can see the letters ADAMS for Peace and Development and around the different terminologies and areas of expertise, the agency seeks individuals from multiple professional and academic backgrounds to help fulfill the agency's mandate.
Thank you, G. And speaking about fulfilling the agency's mandate, some of you may not be aware, but the IAEA is a United Nations system-related organization. So we are in the overall United Nations family. And we also play a very active part in helping the international community with the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals, which have been adopted at the United Nations Sustainable Development Summit in New York in September 2015. According to our Director General, Mr. Yukiya Amano, When you look at the 17 goals, we are definitely very struck by the very close overlap with the work of the IAEA. These new goals cover poverty, hunger, human health, clean water, affordable and clean energy, industry and innovation, and climate change, to name just a few. And these are all areas in which nuclear science and technology have a lot to offer. So if you want more information about how the IAEA is linked to the Sustainable Development Goals, please go to our website, IAEA.org, and you can also find videos on our YouTube channel. You can find information on our Facebook page and also information on our LinkedIn page as well. You're welcome to follow us on all of those social media platforms, not only to find about the mission and the work of the agency throughout the world, but also to find out more about our opportunities of employment. Moving on to the next slide, to the left what you see is a sample of the types of webinars we have on a monthly basis. As you can see, we have introducing the IAEA, which is typically offered in English, but could also be offered in French, Spanish, and we are planning future sessions in Arabic, Chinese, and Russian. At this moment, we are the only international organization in or out of the United Nations system that offers monthly webinars to applicants like you. And because of this program, we have been recognized by the Career Development Roundtable with an award for innovation in recruitment. So for those of you who may have met us in Helsinki, hello from Vienna, and we're looking forward to being in touch with you. Moving on to the next, we're going to find out more about staff composition.
Thank you, Gustavo. So at the agency, we have currently 168 member states, of which 107 are represented here within the Vienna headquarters. So at the moment, we have approximately 2,500 staff members, of which the vast majority of them are located in the Vienna headquarters. And just a small breakdown of the 2,500 staff members, 1,400 are professional staff and 1,100 are general service staff.
Okay, G. Tristan?
Okay, and how are we organized, actually? For those who are not familiar with our work, the IAEA works for the safe, secure, and peaceful use of nuclear sciences and technology. Its key roles contribute to international peace and security and to the world's millennium goals for social, economic, and environmental development, as Gustavo has talked before. The agency is organized around six departments that you can see on the screens. Some of them have names which sound very technical and very scientific, but be reassured, a lot of the employment opportunity we have in the agency are of different nature. We recruit accountants, people who can manage project, manage technical cooperation, handle meeting, translation. So the type of work we do is very broad, despite the technical nature of the work of the agency. So if you're interested to hear more about all those technical departments, we have upcoming webinars which will look at those departments in more detail.
Thank you, Tristan. This is really, really good message. And in order for us to find our opportunities, what is it that you do? In order to find us, just go to IAEA.org. And you can click on employment or go directly to IAEA.org/about/employment. And you're going to go to this website that you see on your screen. We have three main buttons on the website. The first one is current vacancies, where you're going to find the opportunities available in all our departments. And as mentioned by Tristan, we are a scientific and technical organization that leverages the skills, professional, administrative skills, of a variety of individuals with many, many types of backgrounds. In other words, we hire a lot of nuclear scientists, technologists, individuals, but we also hire people with all types of backgrounds as well. Another button that you see is the register for the webinar of the month button. This is where you should come every month, if you feel like it, to find out what kind of presentations we have ready for you for potential applicants. We may have benefits and entitlements webinars, or a webinar about the Department of Safeguards, or a webinar about opportunities in finance and budget. So it all depends on the current needs of the organization. Should you want to learn more, please return to our website on a monthly basis and click on this button. If you happen to be searching internships, you can also apply for internships by using the third button. This is a different vehicle because for internships, we do request some pieces of information not necessarily requested by the typical vacancies. If you are a female, especially if you are in scientific and technical areas, we encourage you to check the Women at the IAEA webpage, where we provide information of the work the IAEA has engaged in the last years in order to bring gender parity to our organization. Now, talking about the types of employment, Christina, what would you tell us?
Well, thanks, Tristan. This afternoon, we're going to focus on the application process for professional positions. But what many of you may not know is that there are different types of employment offered here at the IAEA. We recruit locally for general service posts. But if you have a specific skill or interest in a project, we also recruit experts and specialists for specific tasks. There are also opportunities for fellowships and scientific visits. And if you're a little younger, there may also be opportunities for junior professional posts and possibly internships. And my colleagues will go into those in more detail.
Thank you, Christina. This is a webinar mostly focused on professional positions, okay? So professional staff members of the IAEA comprise a multicultural group of experts who carry out the programs of the organization. Candidates interested in professional posts here are expected to have a university degree and appropriate prior work experience in their chosen profession. They support the functions of the IAEA by contributing as individual experts as well as offering specialized skills that are usually very specific to the nature of the IAEA's work. Professional staff include nuclear engineers, nuclear physicists, nuclear safeguards inspectors, mathematicians, biologists, chemists, marine scientists, and other scientific and technical occupational groups. However, we also hire individuals with finance, business administration, human resources, procurement, information technology, and all of those other areas that help us move on and realize the mission of the organization. Professional staff of the IAEA may be hired under various types of contracts, including fixed-term contracts or temporary assistance. In order to find out more about this type of information, please visit our website, and in the near future, we will be able to convey this information to you via another webinar. But we also hire individuals for general service positions, right, G?
Mm-hmm. So general service staff members provide support in the administrative, technical, and scientific areas. However, it is important to note that recruitment for all general service posts is on a local basis only, which means that candidates who apply to general service positions must legally reside in Austria at the time of the application. And on the slide, you can also see that the agency hires people within the different areas of admin support, financial support, laboratory technical support, and also program management assistance.
All right. And speaking of internships, G, you happen to have been an intern here. Could you tell us more about the experience?
Sure. Before joining the recruitment team, I had an internship for about 6 months within the Division of Human Resources. I wasn't specifically working in the recruitment team. I was mainly a support to the focal point for gender. So I was very much involved in supporting the gender-related activities. And throughout my internship, I got to have more experience and opportunity in supporting recruitment work and also in terms of supporting work for technical assessment and also recruiting outreach measures as well.
Very good. And what did you do after the internship, G?
After the internship award, I decided to go back to my home country to finish my educational degree and to find out different opportunities after graduation.
Very good. And could you remind us a little bit about the eligibility criteria for internships?
Sure, of course. You can see on the slide the different eligibility criteria for the internships here at the agency. The first one being that the candidates have to be at least 20 years of age and have completed at least 3 years of full-time studies at a university or equivalent institution towards the completion of their first degree. Candidates may apply up to 1 year after completion of their bachelor's, master's, or a doctorate degree. They must have a working knowledge of English, because this is the language that we currently work with in, at the agency. And interns are selected from candidates whose study disciplines are relevant to the agency's work. And as for the duration of the internships offered here at the agency, it's normally from 3 months to 12 months maximum. And all of our internship opportunities are also posted on our career page.
Thank you, G. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the Junior Professional Officer Program. Tristan, could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, but Gustavo, just before saying that, I wanted to say that, for instance, in the Division of Budget and Finance, at any given time, we usually have between 3 to 5 interns. So we're looking throughout the year for internship opportunities, and you'll see them on our website when those ones occur. So please feel free also to contact us. It's a great opportunity to gain experience in an international environment. Now, moving to the junior professional officer position. This is for young professionals that have completed their studies but don't have yet an extensive career and would like to gain an experience in an international environment. So there's some criteria for these programs. First, you need to be below the age of 32. You need to be a national from a member state with whom the agency has a GPO agreement, and you can see the flag around the picture, and if you're one of those countries, there might be an opportunity. You need to hold an advanced university degree, and the duration of those assignments are usually limited to 1 to 2 years. You can see the type of skills we're looking, engineering, human health, but also business administration, information science, social science, or animal, bio, and natural sciences. If you're interested in those ones, please contact your permanent missions, usually in Vienna, of the country around here. If you need information, don't hesitate to contact us.
Thank you, Tristan, and thank you for the plug on the internships. Just to go back to the internships quickly, Tristan, what kind of backgrounds do you usually have people do internships in?
These are people who are actually coming with educations or are completing educations in business administration, in finance, in management, or some specialized fields. But these are the fields we're looking. And right now we have one candidate from China, one intern from China, one from Slovakia, that are coming from, and we have candidates coming from the entire world for those opportunities.
Thank you very much. Just one piece of information that's very important for the IAEA and other scientific and technical organizations in the United Nations system. We do have a rotation policy that indicates individuals stay at the organization up to a maximum number of 7 years over multiple types of contracts. That means that we do not offer permanent employment. And why is that? This is to make sure that the knowledge acquired at the organization is actually rotated back to the member states, and also that the agency maintains fresh ideas and fresh perspectives, particularly in scientific and technical areas. So it's very important for you to know that we work here at the organization for a maximum number of 7 years over multiple contracts. Just moving on to the next page, we're going to get to know a little bit more about Christina George. Christina, could you tell us a little more about how you ended up here at the IAEA?
Sure. So one thing I didn't say at the beginning is that I come from Canada. I studied, as I mentioned, electrical engineering, and when I completed my studies, I started working in the Canadian government. And as that progressed, I started working for the Canadian Nuclear Regulator in Ottawa. So I had been working there for 5 years, and then it occurred to me that I wanted an international component to my career. And what better place to get that international exposure than with the International Center for Expertise related to nuclear applications. So that's when I started to read about and learn about the IAEA, its work, how it intersected with my work in Canada, and then actually went to the IAEA website and started to look for jobs and actually applied for a job online. And the rest is kind of history.
Very good. And why do you think should engineers, particularly women, consider the IAEA as an employer of choice?
I think from an engineer's perspective, I think the IAEA is an interesting place because it puts you into contact with experts and introduces you to work that's not a typical engineer's work. I think when people think of an engineer, they think of a computer lab or a research lab, but they don't think about you going out to countries, working in facilities, and meeting people from around the world. So from an engineer's perspective, this is the chance to apply skills in an area that you never would have considered. And from a woman's perspective, I think it's the same. You have opportunities to work with specialists everywhere, to come into contact with women in different countries that probably share a lot of similar experiences. So it's a chance to talk about what you've been through and to learn from smart and capable women.
Very well put. And how about the types of professionals that you work with on a daily basis?
In my work, I protect radioactive sources. And in that function, I do a lot of project management. So on the one hand, I'm working with security experts, but my work also branches to different parts of the organization where I interact with contracting specialists, procurement experts, managers, the gamut. So it's not just my specific area of expertise. The core functions of the agency, like procurement, like contracting, like finance, all intersect with nuclear security.
Very good. Did you happen to know anybody before you came to the IAEA?
I knew people who worked here, but I didn't know anyone personally.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
That was different.
I see. And what career advice would you give to anyone who is interested in applying for an international organization like ours?
I think it's important, first of all, to build up the necessary expertise in your home country, because the expectation is that you're going to come to the IAEA and serve the member states. So it's important to have that necessary foundation. If you're early in your career or in the middle of your career like I am, it's also important to think, how can your skills be transferred to a job here at the IAEA? It's very rare that you will see a job application that matches your skills and abilities entirely. So it's important to be creative in your thinking to demonstrate how you can make your skills work for the agency.
That's a great piece of advice, and we're going to go over more information related to that very, very soon when we talk about the application process. Just to finalize on this theme for you, what is it that you like the most about working here?
I think when I think about the time I've spent here, I've been extremely lucky to have been to countries and met people from countries that I never would have gone to if I was back in Canada. So I'm grateful for that opportunity and for what I've been able to learn and impart through those travels and interactions.
Thank you, Christina. If you want to learn more about what Christina does, please check her YouTube video, because she's actually got a video there talking about her work and what it's like to work at the agency. You can also find more information about women at the IAEA in the brochure titled Women at the IAEA, and you can find that on our website. We do have someone else here who is a great addition to the team at the International Atomic Energy Agency. Tristan, why don't you tell us a little more about yourself?
Thank you, Gustavo. I have now 20 years of experience. I actually started my career after my studies. I actually started my career in the private sector, being an external auditor for a large external audit firm, PricewaterhouseCoopers, PwC. And I moved then, I stayed in the private sector, moved to internal audits. And then after a while, I was traveling across the globe and decided to move to the public sector, to the international public sector. And I started working at CERN, the European Organization for Nuclear Research, where I was ultimately the head of internal audit there. And this organization is based in Geneva. So that was my first experience of international organization, and it was actually a European organization. Being a European in a European organization, you tend to believe that Europeans are very different, from the Greek to the German to the Spanish to the Norwegian. You have a sense that there is great diversity in European organization. Then I moved to the World Trade Organization, also in Geneva, where I was chief of budget and finance and also the director of administration. There you see the international diversity, and suddenly you find that the Europeans pretty much look very similar when you compare them to an Indian or someone from Latin America or from someone from Botswana. So that diversity was a great and enriching experience. And a year, and after spending 6 years, 5 years at CERN and then 6 years at the WTO, I also wanted to change and go to a different location, work in a different country, see new challenges, new people, new issue, and I was looking for an international experience. I didn't know anybody at the IEA. I had no reference or people that I knew in the agency, and I just actually, like a number of you, I just submitted my application candidly. I didn't have a specific dream of coming and working for the IEA, but actually I'm very happy and I learned a lot about this agency and actually can connect very well with what we're doing and in the field in which we are.
Very good. And speaking of individuals with similar backgrounds like you, you mentioned that you came from the corporate sector, then you moved on to other international organizations. Why should people in budget and finance or audit and accounting consider us as an employer of choice?
I think what we offer as a term of as an offer and experience is working in a very diverse and rich working environment. In our team, we have some 70 people, and we have 28 nationalities represented. You've seen people from all over the world, men, women, thinking differently, bringing new ideas, and I think this type of environment is very stimulating and very interesting. You're also working with an organization that has 168 member states, and they have to find a consensus on deciding what they want to fund and how much they want to fund in this agency. And you see also the intricacy of the international political environment on how things are working.
I'm glad you mentioned the 168 member states, because that allows me to highlight the fact that any citizen of the 168 member states are eligible to apply for professional positions at the IAEA, and you do receive permission to work at the IAEA and live in Vienna, Austria for the duration of your contract. As for general service positions, as G mentioned before, these are locally sourced opportunities that we source here from the Austrian market. Just to finalize on this theme with you, Tristan, what career advice would you give anyone who is interested about applying here?
I think more generally, I would give that advice to anyone working and in its working environment. You need to work at having achievements, not just doing a job, but getting result of the job and being able to demonstrate and capture those results and explain and talk about them. And the second point, which is also very important, is displaying the positive attitude. Attitude will make a big difference for your career, especially in international organization where you have to manage a huge level of diversity in the people with whom you work. So you have to display the right attitude. You need to demonstrate a positive and an open attitude if you're really interested in working in an international organization.
Thank you, Tristan. This is a very good piece of advice, especially as you prepare an application, because it's important that you know how to actually promote the work you've done in the past and make the link to the work for the job that you're applying for. And that's when we start talking about planning your application. It's not just enough to just apply for anything, apply anywhere. It's important that you know very well why you are applying for that particular organization, what the mission of the organization is, how does the organization fit within your overall career goals, how does the job fit with the overall career goals. So when you're looking for positions that you run into the job description that sounds interesting to you, make sure that you ask yourself these questions. What are the main tasks and projects of the work unit? What is it that I'm going to end up doing, right? Is this work area relevant for you? Have I been on the path of going towards this area? Do I have parallel experience in a similar area that would make me a good fit for this new work area? Do you have the relevant skills and experience? Have I done the same things before, or do I have the potential to develop and hit the ground running with the skills and experiences that I've acquired over my career that I want to bring to this organization and to this position? Another thing that's important as well is would you enjoy the tasks associated with this position? Are you someone who tends to be more strategic, more operational? Is this the kind of job you'd like to spend 8-10 hours of your time every day working on? Does your profile match the job minimum requirements? This is the minimum that you look at, not just looking at the minimum requirements and looking at potential match, but going beyond this. If it doesn't match, specifically, what are the transferable skills that you can bring to this position? How can you let the hiring manager and the panel members know that you could be a potential match? And realistically, assess the job market for your area of expertise. Is it easy to find someone with that profile? How many applicants do you think the organization is going to have with a similar profile? What are my real chances given my past experiences? So I definitely encourage you to be very curious and very active in asking yourself these questions and placing yourself in a situation in which you will be able to promote yourself as best as possible to let hiring managers find out about your applications in the system. Moving on to the next session of planning your explanation, G, could you tell us a little more about this piece?
Sure, of course. In the following slide, we will show a sample vacancy which is currently posted, in fact, if you'd be interested in applying. But before doing so, I'd like to cover briefly about the structure of the vacancy notice or the job description. So from the top, we have the organizational setting, which covers the structure and the objectives of the concerned organizational entity. The main purpose covers contributions to service delivery, including team role, the degree of autonomy or supervision. The role would cover the nature of the role played by the position. As for the partnerships, it will cover the types of relationships and the extent of cooperation with external stakeholders or clients required to accomplish the work. The functions and key results expected would cover the deliverables and contribution of the post to the program objectives. As for the competencies and expertise, it will indicate some of the core and the functional competencies, such as communication, teamwork, analytical thinking, or leading and supervising, and areas of expertise which would be quite specific to each position that will be required for a successful incumbent. As for the qualifications, experience, and language skills, it will indicate the minimum requirements in relation to the vacancy, such as education, the years of experience, and the language skills in order to perform the position responsibilities. And last but not least, it indicates the remuneration, which is the benefits package and information regarding the remuneration.
Thank you, G. And if you see the table that's on the screen right there, when you look at the questions that could be asked, where, why, what, with whom, how, with what attributes, what qualifies you, and for what types of benefits, these are the questions that you will find in the job description. Speaking of job description, we have a sample for you. We currently have a position called Associate Program Officer, which is at a P2 level at the Division of Conference and Document Services. This offers a temporary assistance contract of 2 years, with the first year being probationary. So this is the type of information that you would find online as soon as you go to our website and you click on Current Vacancies. This is one of the positions that you could find with the total information that you can leverage to find out more about what it would be like to work here. Another position that we have is Associate Security Coordination Officer. Could you highlight this one for us, Jean?
Sure. As you can see from the slide, it starts off with the organizational setting. In this particular case, for this position, it is located within the Department of Management. For other positions, you'll be able to read about the department, of course, and then the divisional level and also about the section, so where this position is specifically located. As for the main purpose, the first line starts with reporting directly to, so it indicates the supervision, the level of supervision, and also the autonomy, and also the main programmatic delivery of the position. As for the role, it is numbered according to the different roles the position is expected to play.
Okay, G, thank you for that. Moving on to the next slide, we do have this section called Functions Key Results Expected. This is a very special, important section in any job description because this is where you're going to find out exactly what is expected of the person who will take the job. So it's very important that you understand this through and through. Why? Because in your application, part of your job in making yourself stand out to the competition is actually to let the hiring manager know if you have the same skills needed for the position, if you have done the same tasks, or if you have done similar positions in the past, if you have transferable skills. I know that we are throwing a few acronyms to you, such as, not acronyms, but P1, P2, P4. These are the types of levels that we have at the United Nations System Organization. In order to find out more about this, please go to our website, www.iaea.org. Look for the employment page, and you're going to see an explanation of what it means to apply for a P2, P3, and P4, P5 position. Typically, a P3 position requires a minimum of 5 years of experience. So for a P2, slightly less than that. For a P4, approximately 7 years. So this is a gauge whether or not you have enough years of experience to engage in different types of activities. Moving to the next slide, we also have core competencies at the IAEA. If you look at those core competencies, they show up in all of our job descriptions, and they include planning and organizing, communication, achieving results, and teamwork. However, certain job descriptions also have functional competencies. They may range from 7, 11, or a few fewer job descriptions overall. They could range from resilience all the way to partnership building and client orientation. So these are the competencies you have to bring or be easily developed while you are at the agency in order to successfully function in this kind of environment. You're also able to find asset expertise. In the case of the Associate Security Coordination Officer field travel, the asset expertise would be physical protection, security management information. So as you go through the job description, make sure that you pay attention to all of those details for you to assess whether or not you are a good fit for the position. Speaking of assessing whether or not you're a good fit for the position, Tristan, as a hiring manager, what would you be able to tell us as tips regarding creating a good application?
So most of us here are involved in managing recruitment, and usually on a vacancy, and I do several a year, we usually have between 100 to several hundred applicants to a vacancy. So as a hiring manager, we're looking at this application, and I actually look to all, every single one of them, but as you can imagine, I cannot spend a huge amount of time on them. So I will look for people who are able to accurately, in a synthetic manner, explain what they have done, what they have achieved. And I will look for this information and the way the information is being presented. A common thing that I see in a number of vacancies I'm looking at is that some of the applicants are two type of issue. Some of the applicants have not carefully read the description of what we're looking. And for instance, where some position we're looking with people who have already 15 years of experience because they're managing a fairly large team. And then we receive applicants who are 24-year-old who apply to those positions. So there's an evident mismatch between what we're looking for and what the applicant thought about the position. So obviously we're wasting a bit of our time and the applicant is wasting a bit of his time because this application is not going to go anywhere. Make sure that you also, there's a descriptive part in the, you can put a little letter. A cover letter in that part. Make sure that it's actually relevant, well written, and appropriate to the position, because I've seen cover letter making reference to other applications. So it looks like it's a QP paste or a forward from another position. So it doesn't give initially a very good image of your own application. Be concise, be to the point, read the job description, because that's how we're assessing the application at the end.
That's great, Tristan. Thank you very much. And we're going to be providing a little more tips on how to go through the process very, very soon. We just want to highlight to you another section of the job description.
Sure. So as I briefly discussed, this part regarding qualifications, experience, or language skills will indicate the level of education or the focus of the education required for the position, or any certification or professional qualification relevant to the position, the minimum years of experience in order for you to be qualified, and also the proficiency or the level of English or other UN languages.
Thank you, G. And I just want to leave you with a little homework after the end of this presentation or sometime over the weekend. Make sure that you check our current vacancies online. Take a look at one of the job descriptions whose title attract you and go through the entire job description and try and dissect exactly what's asked. And if this is something that could be a match, think about, as you go through this job description, how can I show to a hiring manager and panel members that I could be a potential fit? Obviously, this Associate Security Coordination Officer is just a sample. It can be a little more technical for some people than others, but we do have other types of positions as well that would be very, very attractive for people with a variety of backgrounds. Moving on to remuneration, G, would you give us an update on that?
Sure. As indicated on the slide here, on the last part of the vacancy notice, you'll be able to read about the benefits package here at the IAEA. So just to briefly cover, it also speaks of the salary, which would be tax-free, and about the post-adjustment, the dependency benefits, rental subsidy, education grants, relocation and repatriation expenses, annual leave, vacation, home leave, pension plan, and health insurance. And you'll be able to find more information by clicking on each word that you would like to find more about.
Thank you very much, G. And by the way, we do have a webinar called Benefits and Entitlements at the IAEA that explains all of these details. If you want to find out more, please stay tuned on our social media channels to find out when we're going to do this webinar again. Or you can go directly to our website. The address is right there, IAEA.org, about employment and professional staff conditions, or you can just simply go to our website and you'll find this under employment. Moving on, I just want to walk you through the creating a profile. Once you go to our current vacancies button and you identify a position that you want to apply for, you are going to have to create a profile in our system. What does that mean? It means that you're going to enter the basic information. This profile is the equivalent in the United Nations system as what they call the personal history profile, the PHP, or the personal history form, the PHF. And that's where you're going to enter all the information relevant to your academic and professional life. You only need to create this profile once, and as you find jobs, and at the IAEA, you would just update certain features by adding, let's say, a new cover letter or answering the filter questions associated to a specific position or changing the wording slightly to adjust to the position you are applying for. However, pretty much the profile only needs to be done once. Moving on to the second slide, it's just a privacy agreement that's very typical of any kind of applicant tracking system, such as the one that we use at the agency, which is called Taleo. Once you go to the next page, you may have to do a new user registration where you're going to have to create a username, password, with an email address, or if you have already created a profile in the past, please go back. Enter your username and password. One thing that's very interesting is that being on LinkedIn, and a lot of you may have found this webinar information via LinkedIn, I receive often requests from people to help them set their profile password. It's very simple. You just have to go back to the profile page and click on one of the highlighted sections in yellow there on your page. Forgot your username, forgot your password, and then you can have this reset for you. Should you for some reason not be able to retrieve it, I very much encourage you to create a new profile and make sure that you keep this information safe with you so that you can easily access it next time you need to actually complete an application. We're moving on now to the creating a profile section. Could you tell us more about this area?
Sure. As part of creating a profile in Taleo, you'll be requested to walk through or go through a number of different fields and you would need to put in information for. So once you create your user information, on the first part, which is the resume, you will have the option of uploading data from your LinkedIn profile or upload an existing resume or filling out the information online manually. So after you save and continue, you'll be able to put in more information about your personal information, employment preferences, which I believe we will discuss in the following slides, your education records and details, employment record, reference details, and the general questions, the profile questions, and the profile competencies in which you would need to answer in order to complete your general profile.
Thank you, G. Just some interesting information for you as well. You can subscribe to updates on the vacancies that you want to receive alerts about. So just to be clear with you, you sign up for those updates and you let us know which updates to send you automatically. I've had some people request information as to why they were receiving updates on general service administrative positions, and the answer I had to them was, well, what you need to do is go back to your Taleo profile and change the settings of your employment preferences. So let's say that you are a professional with a master's degree looking for a full-time position as a staff under a fixed-term contract. These are the items that you have to click in order to find information on those specific types of vacancies. Don't forget to check on the send an email notification whenever a new position match in this profile is posted. The more choices you add, the more likely you are to be receiving multiple emails on multiple vacancies. And we typically release 7 to 10 new professional vacancies every week. So I really encourage you to be very conscientious about what you sign up for and the areas of expertise you want to cover. Speaking of areas of expertise, under employment preferences, you can select the areas that you want to be considered for these alerts. Let's say that you are in engineering, so you can select under the job family, engineering, under job function, other technical engineering, under job role, mechanical engineers, and this will guarantee that you will only receive job alerts regarding mechanical engineering positions within the engineering job family. We also have other types of alerts for all types of job families, such as administrative support, audit, education, finance, human resources, information technology, program analysis, procurement services. So it's up to you, the candidate, to create those alerts. Moving on to the next phase, we have achievements and duties. So G and I are going to talk a little bit about how you can actually highlight your achievements, which is something that Tristan mentioned a little bit before. It's very important that when you create your application and you actually stress the previous experiences you've had or even academic experiences, you're able to highlight your achievements by providing a quick overview of positive results you have accomplished. So be very clear about your role, your contribution to that particular project. If possible, quantify the achievement. If you happen to be a trainer, what was the number of individuals trained? If you happen to be in finance or procurement, what is the amount of money that has been saved? Mission-related awards and acquired skills. How you actually affected the program as well, and indicate how your achievement had an impact in the organization and how you affected the team and the organization. A sample for this is implemented new travel policy with effective controls, resulting in greater efficiency and consistency in travel planning and 100,000 reduction in costs. Well, this is very specific to the point. You can actually adjust this type of statement to the work that you do. G, what would you like to add?
Sure. Thank you, Gustavo. Other than the achievements part of your employment records, we will also look at your description of the duties that you perform on a regular basis. Under this section, show the hiring manager how your past responsibilities or your current responsibilities make you a good fit for the job. And as we highlighted in red here, tailor each application to the vacancy that you're applying to. Start each statement with an action verb to make it concise and emphasize your role. We would advise that you should not, or it would be advisable not to start with verbs such as manage or supported, but use specific action verbs to make your responsibility and tasks very specific. Write statements that demonstrate what, why, how, and for whom and where you perform the duties, and use a few modifiers along with action verbs to enable hiring managers to know how you perform the duties.
Thank you, G. Tristan, as a hiring manager, would you have something to add?
Yeah, I would like to say that generally when I look at applications, I think there's very few of them that I found them very well described, either the position or the achievements. It's not, when you read them, it's not very clear what the person has really done and what do they have really achieved. So I think here there's a fantastic opportunity for applicants to get good marks, a good visibility by clarity. You don't have to write pages and pages of a description or an achievement, but selecting the right achievements being clearly spelled out. And I think that's where I see the gap between perfection and what we see the widest. So there's plenty of opportunity, and this you need to work outside of the application. This you need for every application that you are doing wherever you're applying.
Thank you, Tristan. Moving on, as you create the description of the job you've done before, we also continue creating the profile. Would you tell us more about that, G?
Sure. I'll just briefly cover some of the questions that you'll be asked as part of the creation of the profile. So the general questions will touch upon whether you have any relatives employed at the agency or any other international organization, if you have any disabilities, or if you have been subject to disciplinary proceedings, or if you have been subject to prosecution action or been arrested, indicted, or summoned in court as a defendant.
Perfect. And we also have other types of profile questions, right, Chi?
Sure. Profile questions focus more on your, well, profile. It asks you about your mother tongue, your level of English, as well as other UN official languages, your trainer and lecturer experience, or any significant publications that you have written, or other activities such as your membership in professional societies and activities in civic, public, or international affairs. And also, if you are applying to specific vacancies, there are vacancy-specific filter questions, and some of the question samples are listed on the slide here, such as how many years of experience or expertise do you have within an international organization, or do you have experience in the following areas?
Okay, thank you, G. And one important piece of this is actually the cover letter. As mentioned by Tristan, it's very important that you tailor the cover letter for the job you are applying for. Again, you create the profile is there, you may update the profile, but every time you apply for a new job, you actually please check the cover letter again. One of the things that's important for you to do is have an introduction, the argument, and closing. What is the introduction? It's outlining your motivation for the post. What's the argument? Showing an understanding of the post and job requirements, highlighting your relevant education and skills, and highlighting your professional accomplishments. What's the closing? Close on why you should be considered. It's very important that you are very professional and straightforward, that those letters are very clear, well-written, and properly formatted. Avoid using slang and informal language. Make sure you use complete sentences with appropriate grammar and spelling, and follow instructions regarding cover letter and job application. These are very, very simple instructions. Always have someone read the cover letter for you to make sure that it sounds and rings well to other people as well. Ask people, am I underselling me? Am I overselling me? Am I promoting what I've done well? So that you can have the opinion of someone who knows your job and knows what you've done to see if you're representing yourself to the best of your ability without exaggerations, because it's very important as well. Recruiters are very used to looking through resumes, CVs, PHPs, and after a while, we pick up very quickly the truth out of what's typically made up. Moving on for the next area, we're going to talk about searching vacancies.
Sure. This is our career page, and you'll be able to navigate through the career page as you can see from the toolbar on the left. So from the top, you'll see the posting period, and going down, you can also filter according to the job location, job family, and job function. And in the center of the page, you'll be able to see the different positions that are currently open for applications. And on the right, you'll be able to see the closing date. And on the far right, if you click on the apply button, you'll be able to answer the specific vacancy filter questions.
All right. We are getting close to the end, and we have approximately 5 minutes. And you do have Tristan, you do have Christina here. So if you have any questions regarding the application process, we will walk you through this as we discuss. So please enter some of your questions on the box, and we can try and answer them as they come along. One of the questions that we have is, how much average time does it take to complete a selection process? Well, like other international organizations, especially those in the UN system, we do have a very thorough recruitment process, which means that we may take slightly longer than other private corporate organizations. Typically, after the vacancy closes for application, we may take 6 to 8 months after finalizing. Usually, individuals who are being considered for the role right away, they will be receiving information from the hiring manager regarding potential assessments. Most professional positions receive assessments that are written assessments, which are tests regarding technical skills associated to the position, and they are completely anonymized, so whoever is taking these assessments, the scorers will not know where the person is from, whether it's male or female, or the nationality. Individuals who may pass this assessment may be invited for a video pre-screening interview, and we do have a webinar covering how to prepare for a pre-video screening interview with the IAEA. If you want to find out more about that, please check our webinar, the month button, often in order to make sure you can attend one of those. Then, people who pass the video pre-screening may be invited for a panel interview that's usually done via video teleconference. And this panel interview usually has 5 to 6 individuals who work at the IAEA who will assess you on your competencies, who will assess you on fit for the job, fit for the organization, and related. Let me find another question here that may be useful for one of our speakers to talk to today. Let me find another. Okay. A few months ago, I applied for the talent pipeline for nuclear engineering professionals, but I haven't received any feedback. Kindly let me know. The talent pipelines are not necessarily applications for a job. When you apply for a talent pipeline, you are applying to be considered by the hiring managers in order to be called in case a short-term temporary assignment is needed, which means that if you have not heard from us, it's because we have not identified you as a potential fit or we do not have current needs on a short-term engagement. Tristan, would you tell us a little bit, how important are the references? Suppose one of the references from the IAEA staff, would this give him a distinct advantage over the applicants?
I think the references are used at a very late stage of the process. Once we have finalized almost the process and we want to have a final check before taking a decision on the recruitment, we will at this stage call the references. So the references are important to implement, but they don't play a decisive role in getting you a job or not a job.
Yeah, that's very, very true. References are only done for those who are being seriously considered for the role. Another question I have is, are you planning near future webinars related to interviews?
In the past, we also have conducted different webinars focusing also on the panel interviews, but also on our pre-screening process. And in the future, I believe we do have some plans to cover the interview process and also to cover what our competency-based interviews mean to external candidates. And you'll be able to find information about our webinars on our career page, as was indicated in the previous slides.
Very, very good. So now we're going to our last question because we're reaching the top of the hour. Does work during the PhD program count as experience? Well, it depends on the position you're applying for, the type of experience you were having in your PhD program. It may count partially depending on the position you're applying for and what kind of research topic you are reviewing. So typically, when we look for experience, we're talking about active relevant experience to the position in question. So part of your job is to let us know in the cover letter and in the description of your duties, how has this work been impactful in the environment where you were, and how you can translate this work once you come to the IAEA. All right, so we are reaching the top of the hour. It's 3:59 p.m. here in Vienna. Unfortunately, we have no more time for questions. But please follow us on LinkedIn, follow us on Facebook, where you can find more information about the upcoming webinars. As mentioned before, we have one webinar every month of a different topic, and we are going to be telling you in the very near future what this topic will be. Again, we want to thank Tristan and Christina for taking their time out of their very busy schedules to be here with us. Thank you, G, again, for always hosting the webinar with me. And very much, it's appreciated your interest in the IAEA, and we're looking forward to receiving applications. Have a good day.